All right, great job. Nehemiah chapter 3 this morning. Nehemiah chapter 3. Didn't the choir do an outstanding job today? I believe so. And all the music and Thomas and Alyssa did a great job. And we're so thankful for the music that is here at Temple Baptist Church. Nehemiah chapter 3. And last week we discussed the sheep gate. Anybody remember what the sheep gate symbolized? Anybody? The sheep gate symbolized the Lamb of God. And then last evening, we talked about the fish gate that symbolized the call to be a witness for Christ and to be fishers of men. And so we looked at the fish gate and the sheep gate last week. And this week, we're going to be looking at the old gate. The old gate. And so Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse number 6, it says, "Moreover, the old gate repaireth Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Besodiah. They laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof." Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to preach your word. Speak through me. Do something I cannot do. Lord, I thank you for the visitors here this morning. I pray that as we look at this old gate, the thought of the old paths, Lord, I pray that you'll just bless this message and guide and direct. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now we come to the old gate that symbolizes, are you ready? The old paths. Amen. The old paths, and I know there are some of you that are out there that may say amen, and there might be some young people that say, oh boy, the old paths, that's all I hear about, the good old days, and about all that was, and now I'm living in a life that has no good old days, right? And so there's different feelings about old path, or what people call the good old days, or what people call old school. Amen. How many of you would consider yourself to be raised in the time of the good old days, right? And we still watch Andy Griffith, right? And Barney Fife with his bullet in his top left pocket, right? And those were the good old days. And we look back at that, those times that, now I can look back only so far, right? And there are people that can look back further than me and look back at the good old days. But I don't want to necessarily go to the good old days. I want to talk about the old paths, the old paths. Someone said one time that we should make America great again. You ever heard that before? Someone said, we should make America great again. And we had this thought the thought was to bring back the old practices that really did make America great. But there are some people that have an agenda and say, well, America was never great because of slavery and because of oppression and because of all these other things. And so America was never great. But let me say this. I know America was never perfect. And America will never be perfect. But I love my country. I love America. And when the national anthem is played, I'm going to stand. I'm going to put my hand on my heart. And I am going to honor the people that have gone before me and sacrificed their lives for my freedom. I love America. It's not perfect, but I believe America's great. And so when we talk about the old paths, I'm not talking about old sins. I'm not talking about old imperfections or old bad habits. I'm speaking today about the old path that Jesus Christ laid down. The only reason the old path is good is because it's God's path. The only reason the old way is good is because it's God's way. That's the only way any way ought to be good is because it's God's way. How many times do we want our way? Sometimes we want our way and we want to make it look like God's way. But may we surrender to God's way. And in doing so, we're going to have to surrender to some of the old paths. The old paths. Somebody say, well, look, I don't want to have to go back to the old things. There are some old things we don't have to go back to, right? When's the last time you used a payphone? Huh? Trust me, in my college days, we used payphones, all right? I know I don't look that old, right? I'm a little bit older than 25, but we used college we used pay phones. How many of you know that you don't have to please be kind and rewind anymore, right? No, Pastor Creed, I still do. Get rid of it, please. Just get rid of that. You don't. We got some new stuff called DVD, and you can download. You don't have to worry about those VHS. You don't have to rewind anymore. Anybody get those tapes? It was the Patch the Pirate, the old yellow ones that looked like a piece of cheese, right? And sometimes it wouldn't work, and you'd have to stick your finger in there and just kind of. Anybody been done that? Right? Yeah. I got to the age and to the size that my finger would not fit. You know. So at first it was like this finger, and then finally it was my pinky finger I had to get in. And it just. I'm so glad I don't have to do that anymore. Amen. I don't want that old path. There are old paths that we don't want. I don't have to memorize all of my family's phone numbers. Amen. Some of you still do. Okay. I don't have to have a Rolodex on my desk and flip through all the writings and try to wonder what is this, a 2 or a 7 or a 5? No, I don't have to do that. Why? We've got some new stuff, new technology, right? And I don't have to highlight the road maps anymore. Anybody still have the map books, the old map books probably still in there? They may be worth something by now, right? And I remember the old visitation days when we had the maps printed out and it was a highlighted street and we had the maps and you had to get your, how many of you husbands had to listen to your wife and she was sitting there in the passenger seat with the big old map out and looks like you got to turn this way and turn that way, right? Now we have in 0.5 miles, you will take a left on this street, right? They tell you that. We have new stuff, new equipment, new stuff that we can follow. I don't have to worry about that old stuff anymore. And we can go on and on and on. But there are some things in the old past and some things that we need to stick with, amen? And I want to talk about, Temple Baptist Church, Old Gate. What does our old path look like? What paths are we taking? What old paths are we taking? So what do we judge, and how do we judge whether it's an old path, it's the right way? What is that? What does that look like? Let me say this. The only way America's going to be great again is if America's godly again. I'm going to say that one more time. The only way we're going to make America great again is if America is godly again. And we have to get back to that. And Christians may help in that effort by coming back to the old paths that God himself has laid down for us. Number one, we see the way or the path of salvation. The way of salvation. I want to tell you this, the salvation will not expire. The way of salvation will not expire. Your opportunity to accept that way will expire. Everybody will have their last breath on earth. But salvation is for all. Aren't you glad for the old way of salvation? Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name, that's Jesus Christ. There's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. There are many paths in life that bring you to Jesus. As a 9-year-old boy, I was saved at church. I was a pastor's son. You have a different testimony than me. You may have a similar testimony, but it's different. Amen? But we all come to Jesus Christ for salvation. And that's the only way of salvation. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Listen, not of works, lest any man should boast. What does that mean, not of works? That means not of baptism, not by confession to a pope, not by church membership, not by helping the poor, not by being a good role model, not by giving money to a good cause. It is simply putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's the old path. That's the old way. But as we sung this morning, it still feels new, doesn't it? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Boy, when we belt out, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. You get that new feeling. Some of you might have been saved for decades and decades, and you still feel it, get excited when you hear about the old rugged cross. Why? because that's the right path. And being on the right path is an exciting thing, isn't it? Knowing that you're taking the right path, the way of salvation, it's a one decision. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You don't lose your salvation. Amen? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You become in the family of God. I'm glad that I have a father. There were times I thought about, boy, it'd be nice not to have a father. He disciplined very well, and he was a lefty, and yes, he played tennis, he played baseball, and yes, he was a home run hitter. He hit multiple home runs on me, amen? And I thank God for a father that'll discipline me. Now, we're missing that. In our country, we're missing fathers altogether. And I'm thankful for a father that would discipline me and tell me what's right and what's wrong. There were times that I did wrong. And my father never said to me, Patrick, you're not my son anymore. Get out of my family. Guess what he did? He hit a home run. And we got right. And I'm thankful for a heavenly father that never says, you're out of my family. I'm thankful for a heavenly father that loves us enough to chasten us and keep us. I didn't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to stay saved. But you know what? He's merciful and he's gracious. Some people may say, well, there's a new truth around here. I remember talking to someone that says, isn't your God just like every other God? I say, no. No, my God's the God of the Bible. By the way, there's no new God out there. There's no new truth about salvation out there. It just doesn't happen. I remember a conversation about a man that got mad at me because I said, there's only one way to heaven. May I say this? The old paths of salvation will upset others. Stay on them. I want you to look at Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. The way of salvation. I love the verse in Jeremiah chapter 6. It goes hand in hand with Nehemiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the what? The old paths. Ask for the old paths. But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't say just ask for them. What else does he say? He says, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. There are people, and Brother Jackson, you know this. You've seen this in the fair. Searching. And Brother Jackson, they're searching for a new way. They're searching for the new way. They're searching for some way, and they don't know about the old way. We need to present them with the old way. We need to present them with the Jesus saves. I remember hearing about the American Atheist Organization that paid $20,000 for a billboard near the Lincoln Tunnel in New Jersey. The sign had a silhouette of three wise men approaching a nativity. The word said, you know it's a myth. This season, celebrate reason. And that was printed in bold. The billboard was meant to encourage atheists to quit celebrating Christmas. There's an attack on the old path. But in reality, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 says this, come now and let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Aren't you glad for the old path? I love this song. There's a hymn that says, tell me the old old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his what? Love. Tell me the story, so simple, as to a child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. How many of you love that old story? The one way of salvation. Yes, it's old, but it's going to be new to somebody. And may we take that old story that we've believed and that we've accepted as salvation, and may we share that old, old story with others. There's the old path here as we talk about the old gate, the way of salvation. Amen. There's the word of communication. John 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word," what? "Was God." The Bible that we hold dear is God. "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." I'm so glad for the inspiration of the Word of God. Inspiration, that word means God breathed. There are penmen of the Word of God, but there's only one author, and that is God himself. Amen? And we believe in the inspiration of the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Amen? All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. We believe in the preserved Word of God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, and verse 8, it says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall" what? "Stand forever." I love what Psalms chapter 12 says. "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Listen to verse 7. "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." We believe in the preservation of the Word of God. Oh, Pastor Creed, are you one of these double inspiration kind of guys? Let me ask you this. Do you believe in preservation? Amen. I do too. Let me ask you, do you believe that the King James Bible that's sitting in your lap is the Word of God? Do you believe the Word of God is inspired? Amen. I believe in the preserved Word of God. I believe God has given us the preserved, inspired Word. I don't believe we get leftovers. I believe we get the whole thing. I believe that His Word is infallible. To confess that the Bible is infallible is to confess that the Scriptures are incapable of teaching any error. Do you believe that? I believe the book that we hold is infallible. The Bible says, we just read it, Psalm chapter 12, verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified," how many times? Seven times the number of completion. I believe the Word of God is inerrant. That said that there are no errors in the very Word of God. Now to say that there are errors in the Bible is to attack the very character of God. What did we just talk about? John chapter 1 and verse 1. What is that? That the Word is God. And to say that the Word of God has errors in it is to attack the very character of our Almighty God. Let me tell you something. We're holding to the old path of the Word of God. We're standing firmly on the foundation of the Word of God. I cannot stand in this pulpit and preach from the Word of God if I knew there was errors in here. I cannot take this Word, this Bible, and put it as my foundation if I knew there were cracks in that foundation. You wouldn't live in a house that you knew there were cracks in that foundation, would you? No. And spiritually speaking, I don't think you ought to stand on a foundation like the Word of God if you know there's errors in there. And I believe there are no errors. There are no errors in the Word of God. It is inerrant. I also believe in the will of God. We believe in the way of salvation. We believe in the word of communication. We believe in the will of God. The will of God. You say, Pastor Creed, are you going to tell me the will of God for my life? I certainly am. Are you ready? Are you awake? You ready for the will of God for your life? Number one, the will of God for your life is to be saved. We just talked about that, the way of salvation. God doesn't want any to perish. God wants all to come to remission of sin. God has given the choice to every person. Amen. Aren't you glad he's a loving God? I'm glad he is. I'm glad he's a loving God that doesn't choose some that go to heaven and some that go, but he gives the choice to all of us to accept him. It is God's will for you to be saved. It's God's will for you to be baptized. That's the first step after salvation is baptism. I want to challenge you this morning, if you've never been baptized, let me say this. Baptism will not take you to heaven. Baptism is not a part of salvation. Baptism is a step of obedience after salvation. Amen? We believe that. We believe the Bible teaches that. Let me challenge you to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I believe that God's will for your life is to study the Word of God. I didn't say read. You with me? Sometimes we make it an option on a checklist to read God's Word, and that's it. We ought to study. The Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Amen? We ought to be studying God's Word. That's God's will. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. God's will for your life is to pray. These are old paths. Pray. Pray. There's no new wave of how to pray new. No, just get on your knees and talk to God. You could sit right there and talk to God. You could be walking to your car and talking to God. You could be driving to work and talking to God. But pray without ceasing. I like to say that pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Don't hang up on God. You ever end a conversation on the phone and you forget to hang up? Or maybe you're talking to somebody and they forget to hang up on you, right? And you get to listen to all their conversations, right? Isn't that a treat? Oh, it's a treat not to hang up on God. It's a treat to pray without ceasing. What's the will of God for my life, Pastor Creed? The will of God for your life is to stay faithful to church. Faithful to church. It's important that the body of Christ come together. It's important that we stay faithful. Faithful to our church. What else is the will of God for my life? To the brethren, your family, and even your enemies, we ought to love them. Love, charity. It's God's will that we ought to love people. Amen? Christians sometimes have a horrible way of showing love. I don't know what it is about us, but somehow, we show love by barking at people and yelling at people and screaming. That's not love. May we really show love, the love that Jesus shows us. What love does Jesus? Jesus gives us mercy. Jesus gives us grace. May we show love to others. May we be loving to others. Amen? By the way, that's God's will for your life. To be loving for others. Here's another God's will. Go and preach the gospel. Go and preach the gospel. Let me say this. If you're not a soul winner, if you're not a witness, you are out of God's will. If you do not present the gospel to others, you are, listen to me, you are out of God's will. It's God's will for us to go and preach the gospel, to give tithes and offerings. How do you rob God? One way of robbing God is not giving what he's commanded us to give. What about being holy? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Hey, it's God's will for you to be holy. What's that talking about? Hey, we ought to raise the flag high. Our standards, high moral standards. What is God's will for my life? God's will for your life is to trust God and to love the Lord your God. Amen? These are old paths. These are things we ought to be following. God's will for our life. I tell you what, I can probably preach a whole sermon series on just the will of God for your life. But there's a list here. God has his will set for you. May we follow the old paths. Amen. I want you to look at Nehemiah again. Chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, moreover, the old gates repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Besodiah. I believe that there's some importance in the order of these gates. The Lamb of God is first. We must trust Christ. And then he talks about the fish gate. Once you accept Christ, your personal Savior, you get excited about that story and want to tell others. We talked about those two last week. But here we talk about the old gate, the old paths. But I also believe that there's an importance of who God put in charge of them, of who God gave to build these gates, to rebuild these gates. Jehoiada, his name means Jehovah knows. Now, there's a lot of controversy about the old gate. When was it built? When was the first building of the old gate? Where was the gate built? Was it to the east? Was it more to the west? Was it on the north side? Was it on the south side? Where was this old gate built? A lot of people say that it was built from Salem and from another person, and there's a lot of discussion on who built it, where it was built, and when it was built. But let me tell you something. I thank God that He knows. Amen. But guess what? Isn't that the old path? Isn't that the very path we ought to stay on? Understanding what God knows. I want the salvation that God knows. I want the book, the word that God knows. I want the will of God that God knows for my life. That's the very path we ought to strive for. The one that God knows. You say, oh, Pastor Creed, I'm struggling with staying on the old path. I'm struggling. I'm being pulled by the world off this path. I'm being pulled away from God's will, from the Word of God. Would you pray for me? Would you help me? Isn't that something? Jehovah knows, but look at the next person that's helping. Meshulam. Pastor, I need help with the old paths. I need help staying on the old paths. Meshulam means friend or helper. Isn't that something? I love Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who is that friend? Well, we see that in John chapter 14, verse 16 says, and I will pray that the Father, and he shall give you another what? Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. What things are we talking about? The things that Jehovah knows, the old paths, amen, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Pastor Creed, I'm struggling. God knows the struggles. And God gives us a helper. Amen. We serve an immutable God with immutable truths. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. May we stay on the old paths that Jesus has set for our lives. May we stay standing on the old foundation, the firm foundation. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for your way, for your will. Thank you for the old paths. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Lord, there may be people here struggling with the old path, struggling with some new paths, and being pulled by the world. Lord, I pray that you'll help them, be with them, and help them to make decisions this morning to stand on the old path.